thankful for His goodness. It's good to be back in church tonight and listening to some of y'all talk. I guess thank the Lord for the beautiful day. For upstate New York, I reckon. Amen. I'm surprised I haven't got a text so far from James DeFerio saying, "Ha ha, enjoy being up there." Well, I'm down here basking in the warmth and sunshine of Tennessee. And it's been a blessing having James and Tanya down there. I know y'all miss them up here, no doubt. Or maybe you're glad they're gone. I don't know. We don't even go to the same church. We go to two different churches, but I get to see him when I'm in town. He's done some work on my vehicle since I've been there. And we've gone to their church for some meetings, special revivals. And then they just a couple weeks ago, I was preaching a revival at our church, and they were able to come over for that. So I've enjoyed getting to know them a little better, and they're a blessing. But I want you to take your Bible this evening and go to the book of John, chapter number 12. John, chapter number 12. I was thinking during the congregational singing, Brother Andrew, there's not many song books where they say, turn to page 800 and such. Especially down south, we know about like 10 hymns, that's it. I'll Fly Away, Victory in Jesus, and There's Power in the Blood. But there's a lot of good songs out there. I appreciate people that take time to learn them. And one thing I like about evangelism, you get to go to so many different parts of the country, so many different churches. And over the last 25 years, we've learned so many different hymns and songs and just good stuff. And there's a few goofy songs out there. Mama's teaching angels how to sing. No, she's probably not. I'm not trying to burst your bubble, but I don't think she's teaching angels how to sing. I was riding through the Ozark Mountains one time years ago listening to a local gospel station there and heard somebody singing a song. The chorus, it said, "I'll meet up with Grandma around the great white throne." I thought, that ain't where I want to meet Grandma at. That's where you meet Grandma at. I got bad news for you and Grandma. You headed for hell, amen. Maybe if people would actually take time to read the Bible and then write songs that line up with the Bible, it'd sure help a lot, wouldn't it? Yeah. Amen. I'm not even preaching yet, but that's good preaching. Amen. Started to say I was going to go back to the hotel and sign the Gideon Bible, but I'll sign the next one I'm at the hotel. Amen. But we've enjoyed it. Appreciate the nice place to stay over here. That's a very comfortable place, and so we've enjoyed that. Hotels, it doesn't matter how nice the hotel is, it's still just four walls. And, man, they get old real quick. So I appreciate just being able to spread out, Stormy. Our marriage does a whole lot better when she can have a place to go and I can have a place. I think I'm kidding about that. I think that's a joke. But it is nice to just be able to spread out a little bit. And so it's been very comfortable. And we've enjoyed it so far. And I hope we've been a blessing. And if not, maybe we'll be a blessing before we get out of here. But that's certainly our desire. We want to be a blessing to you. And here in John chapter number 12, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. John 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." What we see here in our text here tonight is Jesus in the home of Simon the leper, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus in an act of worship, pouring this alabaster box upon His head and upon His feet, giving Him glory and just loving on Him. That there's a detail that's missing in John chapter 12, but you find it in Mark 14, 3, where it says, she broke that box and poured it upon his head. I'm going to preach tonight for a few minutes on a broken box of worship. A broken box of worship. You know, the Lord tonight, He certainly is deserving of worship. You can't read the Bible very far without finding out that He not only deserves it, but it's something that He desires from His children. Actually, He desires it from His creation in general. The Bible said in Psalm, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. He desires praise, He desires worship. But He's not going to get it until you allow that box to be broken open and given out to Him. You know, I'm glad to know tonight that God delights in broken things. Maybe you walked into church feeling like, well, I'm broken. God can't get any use out of me. Actually, He can probably get more use out of you than that person that's got it all together, and they know they've got it all together, so they got too much pride for God to get use out of them. But that person that's been broken because of a trial or a tragedy, oh, you have no idea just what God would like to get from you, what He desires from you. The truth is, there can be no blessing without first being broken. I live in farming community in West Tennessee, and I know this, my house is surrounded by farmland, that there can be no harvest in the fall without some plowing and breaking up of the ground in the springtime. Right. Jesus couldn't even redeem us until He was broken at Calvary. Yeah. You realize tonight, every one of us, We have, if you will, a box of worship. But if you're not careful, you'll just carry it around with you. You're proud of your box. Some of you, you walk around like, my box of worship's prettier than yours. Y'all even got these nice fancy boxes to put the tissue boxes in. Y'all are snooty. But if you're not careful, you'll carry that box to your Bible every morning and you'll read the Bible, but you know what? You just let that box sit there. You'll go to the Lord in prayer and you'll even talk to God, but the box just sits there. You'll carry it with you to church, to Monday night revival meeting on this beautiful Monday evening, 20-something degrees. You'll carry it with you to church, but if you're not careful, you'll just let it sit there. Got my box. Yeah, but when are you going to break it open? I'm glad you're doing all the right things, the godly things that we know we're supposed to do, but when are you going to break that box open and actually give God some worship and glory that He deserves? Some of you, you've been hanging on to it since the day you got saved, and you got it there, but you hadn't broke it open yet. What are you waiting for? Well, I'm going to wait till I get to heaven and I see Jesus. Amen. I wonder sometimes if He ain't going to look at it and say, what you got there? Oh, that's my box of worship. Oh, okay. I wasn't good to you down there. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to worship Him throughout all eternity. In a glorified body, it's going to be wonderful. But may I say tonight, He's worthy right now, in this moment, in this service. When you get up tomorrow morning, He'll still be worthy then. You ain't got to wait till you get to heaven and get a glorified body to say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless your name. He's good to us right now. But you're going to have to break that box open. I realize tonight that worship is a subject that has been very confused and abused. Religious television, I mean, people got caught up in that 50, 60 years ago when it became a thing, and a lot of what goes on there in the name of worship looks like nothing more than a three-ring circus. There's a lot of flesh in the name of Jesus. And I mentioned in Sunday school, you've got that extreme, and we can look at that and say, man, that's not right. But it seems like a lot of times, Baptists, our answer to that, the wildfire, if we can call it that, a lot of times our answer to the wildfire is we're going to get over here and no fire. Yeah, come on. No joy. Yeah. No excitement. Yeah. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. We got a God tonight that's worthy. Several thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to notice the essence of Mary's worship. That word essence means substance. What she's doing, it's not shallow. It's not manufactured. And I realize there are those. I mean, sometimes even in our circles, if we're not careful, we can get to the place where it's not even God moving in a service, or we're just trying to pump something up or work something up just to say that we shouted. But the truth is, God's been so good to us, we ought to be ready to shout. We ought to be ready to rejoice. We ought to be ready to get on our face before God and humble ourselves and just tell Him how worthy He is. But I'm not talking about something shallow tonight. I'm talking about something that the Bible agrees with. Right. Something the Bible commands. And the fact is, she had reason, she had cause for worshiping the Lord. Matter of fact, she's not even at church. She's not at the temple. She's in a house. I wonder tonight, sometimes, if the reason our public corporate worship is so dead, sometimes even non-existent, is because there's not much private worship going on. Not much worship on Sunday because there's not much worship going on Monday through Saturday. And listen, don't get this attitude, oh, here comes one of them Southern preachers going to tell us Yankees how we're all doing it wrong. No. Man, there's dead churches down south. And there's good, lively churches up north. I know better than all that. I'm just here to preach a message to you from the Bible. It's not about north or south or east or west. It's not about any of that. It's not about denominational titles. There is no denomination that has the market on worship tonight. But it sure is commanded from the Word of God. When you look at what Mary's doing and you think about who she is and where she's at and who she's around, everything about that tells us she had great reasons and great cause to be at the feet of Jesus, giving Him the worship that He deserved. I'd say, first of all, she's at His feet there because she's just enjoying His presence. She's just glad that He came in the house. She's glad that He stopped by. Matter of fact, Mark 14, verse 3 said, and being in Bethany in the house. Boy, He came in the house and she got at His feet. I know I mentioned it last night, but I'll hit it again. Amen. We need to learn to just enjoy the presence of God. And I know, brother and sister, that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. If you're saved, we have the abiding presence of God within us. But there's just something about when He just shows Himself in such a way that you walk away from that office or that study or that dining table or that church service saying, man, the Lord showed up today. You know when there's just something a little more special about it. She's enjoying His presence. I don't want my Christian life just to be a routine, a checklist, and nothing more than that. Amen. If I'm going to read my Bible, I want to meet with the Lord in it. If I'm going to spend time in prayer, amen, I actually want to get through to Him. If I'm going to come to church, I want to know that I met with the King of Glory. She's enjoying His presence, but we get in such a hurry anymore. Life is so busy. We've got more conveniences than we've ever had. I mean, can you agree with that? Everything you need, you got at the touch of a button. And yet we don't have time to really enjoy the presence of God. We even come to church. All right, preacher, I'll give you an hour. That's it. Come on, let's get with it. 12 o'clock, whether you're done or not, I'm tuning out. Too busy. But you don't get up and leave the ball game after an hour. Matter of fact, we get excited when it goes into overtime, don't we? Huh? Ladies, back at Christmas time when he's watching all your Hallmark movies. You hoped it didn't end after an hour. Amen. You wanted it to go long. You wanted it to be a good show because you'd done stocked up on Kleenex. Tissues, amen, so you could cry, even though it's the same story every time. Amen. Amen. You don't get up and walk, but church, you know. Our time with God, we heard about that at Youth Ablaze the other day. Amen. We just rush through it if you're not careful, and you'll go through it doing all the right things, but not letting it make a change in you. Not really enjoying the presence of God. I tell you another reason she's at the feet of Jesus, though, it's because she had experienced His power. Amen. Oh, Mary knew about the power of the Lord, not only in her life, but in those around her, her family and friends, even these represented here in the house. Look at some of those people. The Bible tells us there that they're in the house of Simon the leper. Actually, that's in Mark chapter 14, but they tells us it's his house. Simon was a leper. We know that leprosy was a type of sin. Leprosy, I mean, it was an incurable disease in their times. And that's where they're at. I believe Simon the leper represents the redeeming power of the Lord. The fact that the Lord can come by and make a change when nobody else can, when the doctors can't do anything, amen, when the hospital gives up on you and sends you home, I'm glad the Lord can come by. But even that person that people have said, there's no way they could be saved. There's no way that guy could be saved. He's been too far out in the world. He's gone. No, I'm telling you, the Lord can come by and He can redeem. I mean, the lowest, the most vile sinner, God and His blood, it can redeem. The redeeming power of the Lord. Some of you tonight, you're praying for a husband, or maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a child that's gone out to the far country and you feel like there's no hope. I'm telling you, there is hope in Jesus. Amen. Don't quit praying for them. Don't give up on them. The redeeming power of the Lord. But there's Martha here. The Bible said in verse number 2, they made him a supper. In case you don't know, that's the evening meal. Dinner and lunch are the same thing. That's around noon. We're Bible believers, right? Well, the Bible says supper's in the evening. Amen. We had supper at Brother Caleb's house tonight, and he fixed us a great supper. Now, if you want to call it dinner, that's fine. I mean, if you want to call the evening meal dinner, if you NIV, whatever. Okay. I'm just sort of kidding. They made him a supper. They're at the evening meal. But the Bible said in verse number 2, and Martha served. You want to know why that's impressive to me? Because there was another place in Luke chapter number 10 where Martha served in a house, but she got a bad attitude. Well, she's serving the Lord, but she had a bad attitude about it. And the Lord had to rebuke her. As a matter of fact, He said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about much serving. But you know what I like about it? Here she is serving Him again, but now she's doing it with the right attitude and the right spirit. You know what that is? That's the restoring power of the Lord. When you can get it all wrong, like Martha did the first time. You ever just got it all wrong? Just made a mess of things, and the Lord had to rebuke you for it? If you haven't been there, hang in, it'll happen. But ain't it a blessing when He says, I'm going to give you another opportunity though. Amen. Aren't you glad that failure isn't final with the Father? Yeah. I like the fact that Martha, she could take a rebuke and she wasn't like, well, I ain't ever fixing you food again. I ain't ever having you at the house again, Jesus. No, she said, you know what? I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to get it right this time. Amen. And I'm glad when we get it all wrong, the Lord will give us another opportunity. Restoring power. Then there's Lazarus. Lazarus represents resurrection power. It said in verse number 2, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, he was dead in chapter 11. You know, if you're dead in chapter 11, but you're sitting at the table eating with Jesus in chapter 12, that's a pretty big deal. You got to, even if you don't agree with me on the supper part, you're still fuming about that. Get over that and let's at least agree on the fact it's a big deal that Lazarus, that was 4 days dead in the grave, wound up in grave clothes, now he's sitting at the table with Jesus. That's a miracle. Man, what a contrast from chapter 11 to chapter 12 of John. I mean, in chapter 11, Lazarus is dead and his body is already decaying. But here he's alive sitting at the table with Jesus. He was in a tomb in chapter 11, but he's at the table in chapter number 12. Martha and Mary were full of sadness in chapter 11, but here they are full of gladness in chapter number 12. They were weeping in chapter 11, but Mary's worshiping in chapter number 12. Hey, I'm glad God can take a chapter 11 in our life where it looks like it's miserable and gloom and doom and despair, but I'm glad He can give us a next chapter, heaven where there's life and resurrection and hope and joy and worship. I say hallelujah to the Lamb tonight. Hey, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Glory. Resurrection power. May I say tonight that there's nobody so far gone that the Lord can't touch their life, save their soul, bring them from death unto life. Amen. He can still do it even today. Amen. Don't give up on praying for that lost loved one. There's hope in Jesus. I'm just saying tonight that there's essence to her worship. There's substance here. You cannot look at what she's doing and say, how foolish, how shallow, who does she think she is? What does she think she's doing? She knows exactly what she's doing. She knows why she's at the feet of Jesus. Am I preaching to anybody on a Monday night that would say, and be honest, that would say, like Mary, God's been good to you. God's been faithful to you. God has blessed you. God has shown up in your circumstances when it seemed like there was no hope and there was no way, and yet God came through and made a way out of no way. Anybody saved tonight? That ought to be reason enough right there. Take time to get at His feet. Number two tonight, let's look for a moment at the expense of her worship. True biblical worship, sincere worship, it's not cheap. And it's not about money. It's about sacrifice. We'll look at that more closely in just a moment, but this worship, this ointment that Mary poured upon the Lord, it's extravagant. The Bible tells us in verse number 3, Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, watch it, very costly. Very costly. Matter of fact, verse 5 tells us that this ointment would have cost 300 pence, which in Bible times would have been almost a year's wages. That's some expensive perfume. Have you ever saved up for a whole year, 300 days, to buy cologne or perfume? I've never done that. I've bought my wife perfume over the years. But I'd say if I spent a whole year's wages, a whole year's, Brother Caleb, of love offerings, on that, she'd probably say, you're a fool, take it back. But that's what she spent on this. I think it's safe to say whatever it was not Old Spice. It wasn't Stetson, amen. It wasn't even Chanel number 5, amen. This was some expensive stuff. When I think about extravagant, there's many things that come to mind, but I think about sports stars. Ball players and how much they get paid. I Googled who the highest paid athlete of 2024 was, and I don't keep up with soccer, but it was a soccer player. Maybe you've heard of him, Cristiano Ronaldo, soccer player. In 2024, he earned $260 million. 1 year. $260 million. That's extravagant. Would you agree with me on that? That's a lot. I mean, I can remember back not too long ago when we were saying a $20 million contract for 5 years was extravagant. This guy, $260 million for 1 year. I think about extravagant, my mind goes to Oprah and the fact that Oprah Winfrey has homes in Chicago, California, Washington, New Jersey, Florida, Colorado, and Hawaii. Who needs that many houses? And that's extravagant. I say that because I don't have it. If I had it, maybe I'd feel different. I don't know. But the life I live, I'm looking at that saying, that's extravagant. But yet we mention where it said in Mark 14:3, she break the box. In other words, she held nothing back. She didn't just take a little bit. She didn't just say, here you go, Lord. I love you. No, she broke the box. She dumped the whole thing out. She didn't say, it wasn't a little squirt bottle shit where she went, here you go, Lord. I love you. I love you, Jesus. Oh, no, she broke the box. She held nothing back. She gave it all. Amen. Some of you remember before you got saved. Some of you weren't raised in church. Some of you didn't grow up in this kind of atmosphere. And you remember what it was like before you got saved to just give everything to the world. Amen. No hour was too late. Whatever your fix was, no price was too high. You was going to get it. But then all of a sudden we get saved, we get redeemed, we get born again and washed in the blood, but all of a sudden we get stingy and greedy. All right, Lord, I'll give you a little dab. Here, Lord, I'll give you a little bit of time. You can't have much of it, but here's a little bit. I'll pray a little bit. I'll even go to revival meeting on Monday night. But now if that preacher goes too long, I'm checking out my mind. Here, Lord, I'll give you a little bit of worship. Here you go. But you can't have it all. Because I might need it for some. I might decide I love something else more. But here's you a little bit. No, what she did was extravagant. I truly am bothered by this crowd that these new mega churches, one word, you know, Restoration Church. Drove by one the other day, Desperation Church. The Bridge, The Crossing. So many weird, one name and they have one service. Everybody comes in Sunday morning and that's it. And they talk about worship. It's throughout all their music, the songs they sing, the preacher. I mean, they'll preach about it. They talk a lot about worship. But man, how extravagant is it when you're like, hey, this is all the church I need? Yeah. And most of that crowd, there might be some people there that are genuinely trying to love God the best they know how, Brother Caleb. I'll give you that. But most of that crowd, they go home exactly the same way they came because all it was just going through some little tradition. More than to give God worship, it was to pat themselves on the back and say, I feel real religious now. Mm-hmm. Not Mary, it was extravagant what she did. It was also expressive, the Bible said in verse number 3, that she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Here you've got a lady, I mean, she's let her hair down. And she's wiped, she's on her knees at the feet of Jesus, wiping this oil into His feet with her own hair. That's pretty expressive. She's expressing her love for the Lord. That word expressive means with feeling. Now listen, I understand we don't go on feelings. If you try to go through this Christian life on feelings alone, you're going to live a very frustrated, confused Christian life. But let me say, if you go through this thing of the Christian life and you don't ever feel anything, you got a cold heart, man. Every now and then, man, something ought to start stirring inside. Amen, just full of joy for the Lord. I mean, she let her hair down, man, and she's just glorifying God. Man, talking about a ball game a while ago, people get excited and expressive there. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, man, I remember just several years ago, there was a ball game in Kansas City, Missouri, and they were playing in January, I believe it was, and that stadium was packed, but it was snowing like crazy, and it was a cold night. And they said people sat there for that whole ball game, and they said it was so cold that within the days ahead or weeks ahead even, people started losing, they were losing fingers and toes from frostbite, from sitting through that ball game. That's stupid. Hey, man, you're dumber than a barrel of hair, man. There ain't no ball game worth that. All the parents right now just said, plug ears, Junior. Preacher saying words we're not supposed to hear. Hey, they hear worse than that on TV, and you know it. Man. People will stand out there in the freezing cold. I mean, guys will have their shirts off with letters painted on their chest for a ball game. And we'll go to the game and watch them take the ball. They're going to get the ball. And look, man, I enjoy a ball game. I'm not against that. What I do have a problem with is the fact that we put more enthusiasm and excitement and expression into that, a game, than we do for the Lord. Now, something's wrong with that. You can shout more at a ball game than you can over what the Lord's done for you when we come together and we sing His praises and you just sit there like a bump on a log. You're just sorry, man. Amen. We ought to be able to give God some glory. Every now and then we ought to get a little expressive about how much we love Him. But I tell you what's happened, man. In the Old Testament, you read the Bible, they worshiped Baal. But here in the New Testament church age, we've started to worship the ball. Amen. The arena has become the sanctuary. Sports has become the religion. Church is canceling Sunday night service for the Super Bowl. Something's wrong with that. And it happens all over America. When's the last time you really expressed your love for the Lord? And not just a little dab, but I mean you just broke the box open and you didn't even care who was watching. You didn't even care if they were going to criticize. You just said, Lord, you've been so good to me. I'm breaking this box open. I don't even care how much it costs. I'm pouring it out to you. Amen. The first mention of worship you find in the Bible is when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain. They weren't going up there to sing I'll Fly Away and Victory in Jesus and shout and run, hang from the chandeliers. They were going up there to sacrifice. Real worship will call. And I'm all for the shouting and the... And I just talked about that. I'm all for that. But true worship, it will cost you something. It is a sacrifice. But then thirdly, I want to look at the evaluation of her worship. Everybody had something to say about it. And they'll probably have something to say about your worship. Whether you do or don't. They'll either say, man, that guy or that woman, they're just too emotional. Or they'll say, how come they don't ever get excited about Jesus? But you're going to have to learn this if you're going to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. You're just going to have to learn that people are going to criticize and mock and make fun. But you just got to decide, I don't care. It's not for you, it's for Him. Notice the critics here in our text. First of all, we find Judas Iscariot, verse number 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Notice what John says here in verse 6. And keep in mind, he's writing this many years later on the Isle of Patmos, and he's reflecting back on this. And notice John's sarcasm in verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. John's being sarcastic. He's saying, Judas didn't care about the poor. We could have sold this for 300 pence and given it to the poor, and she's wasting it. He'd have made a good modern-day politician. We need to take care of the poor. That sounds good, sounds noble, except they're all getting rich. Amen. Ain't that right? They ain't worried about the poor. They just want us to be concerned about the poor and funnel our money through them. And I think more often than not, it's not going to the poor, it's going into their own pockets. So Judas Iscariot, he'd have made a good politician. I tell you what true worship will do. It will expose the traitors. And maybe that's why a lot of churches just aren't too interested in worship. You ever worked in the yard and stacked up a pile of brush and let it sit there for several months till it got good and dry? And then you go to set it on fire? Almost every time a snake's going to come crawling out. It built up a nest in there, got real comfortable. I tell you what, you let a church get on fire for the Lord. Oh yeah, there'll be some snakes come crawling out. You might be surprised who they are. But it didn't just stop with Judas Iscariot. Take your Bible, go back to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter 14, same account, but different perspective. We know the criticism began with Judas Iscariot, but it didn't stop with him, because that's the thing about criticism. If you don't nip it in the bud, it will spread every time. So notice what it says here in Mark 14 and verse number 4. And there were some. Now that's plural. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It didn't just stop with Judas. It may have started with him, but it spread to some of the other disciples. I don't know how many specifically, the Bible doesn't say, but we know it was more than one. And it said they had indignation within themselves. I had to look that word indignation up in the dictionary. To me, that sounded like something I get after I eat Mexican food. So I looked it up to find out what it really meant. Here's what it said. It's anger or annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. In other words, there were some disciples looking at that act of worship, that act of love, and they're saying, hey, what about me, Mary? What about my feet? I hang around Jesus. I do good things. What about me? When I think about Judas Iscariot, I think about Haman in the Old Testament. Haman, what a great Old Testament type of Judas Iscariot. Esther 5:9 said this, when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. How dare you? How dare you not stand up for me when I come through? How dare you not pay respect to me? Haman, you think about it, man, he hung around the king, but he did not have the king's best interest in mind. He had his own agenda. So did Judas. Haman was hung on the gallows that he built himself. Judas went out and was hanged. And he called it a waste. Verse 4, why was this waste of the ointment made? Brother and sister, could I say tonight, it's never a waste to give it all to Jesus. It's never a waste to give your best to Jesus. Brother Bill Grady, I heard preach a great message on this passage one time, said, you call it a waste, the Lord calls it precious. It's never a waste to give your very best to the Lord. Let the critics criticize. They're just convicted that they know they ought to be giving their best. They ought to be showing their admiration and adoration of the Lord. And so your worship, your glory of the Lord, it convicts them. But there's a commendation given. We see the Lord, He gives praise for the anointing. Verse number 6, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. He gave praise for the anointing. He said, you're calling it a waste, but hey, I say what she's done, it's a good thing. It's a blessed thing. It's a right thing. And then he tells why she did it. She has come aforehand, verse 8, to anoint my body to the burying. See, this anointing showed faith, the faith of Mary in the words of Christ about His death. If you're a Bible reader, you know that Jesus talked about His death often. But the disciples didn't get it. But I tell you who got it, Mary. She got it. She had faith that the disciples didn't even have. So what she's doing here, we could say it in 21st century ways, she's kind of giving flowers before the funeral. Even before the death. You say, well, how did Mary have that kind of faith? She wasn't a disciple of Christ. She wasn't the one leaning upon the bosom of Jesus like John the Beloved. How did she get it? How did she have that much faith? I'd say it's because she spent time at His feet. Matter of fact, you find that over and over in the Gospels. Luke number 10, where we was talking about Martha was serving, but it was Mary that was at the feet of Jesus, just listening to Him and what He had to say. You want your faith to be increased? Get at the feet of Jesus and spend some time listening. I'm glad we can go to Him with our petitions and our desires. I'm glad we're able to do that. But every now and then, just get at His feet and say, Lord, I just want to hear from You. I just want to listen to what You have to say. Maybe pick a day this week and just say, it's not going to be so much about what I want to say to Him, but I just want to hear what He has to say to me. In John chapter number 11, when Lazarus was dead, again, she came and she got at the feet of Jesus, and it was there she spent some time learning. She was about to learn just how much power the Lord really had. Not just power to heal the sick, but she was about to realize He had the power to raise the dead. And here in our text, she's at His feet just loving on Him, worshiping Him, glorifying Him. It's in those times that I believe our faith is really increased in who the Lord is and what He can do. Lastly tonight, I want to look at the expansion of her worship. Her worship started off real small, but it got real big. Her worship expands time. Notice what Jesus said in verse number 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached. Do you notice there that Mary's worship is attached to the Word of God? Therefore, it's just as lasting as the Word of God. That's quite an expansion. She just did it in one moment of time, and here we are a couple thousand years later, we're still talking about it. Most people probably couldn't even tell you who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago. I'm sure there's somebody that can, but most can't. Doesn't care how great of a game it was. Most people couldn't tell you. But I tell you what you can do. You can open your Bible and you can find out about a little lady that got at the feet of Jesus and broke her box open and worship. And we're still talking about it. Not only did her worship expand time, but it even expands travel. Verse number 9, it said, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. This also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. The whole world. See, Mary did this deed in the privacy of a home. But people all over the world have learned about what she did. Something so simple. Something done in just a small home in a small town. And yet I guarantee you somewhere around the world yesterday, some preacher on some continent, he opened up the Word of God to the Gospels, and just as I'm doing tonight, he told a group of people about a little lady that broke open her box and said, here, Lord, I give it all to You because You're worthy. Amen. She gave it all. May I finish tonight by saying this. Brooke, won't you come get ready to sing a song for invitation? That day, as everybody left the house and went their own way, Mary took the fragrance away with her. You say, preacher, I thought you said she gave it all to the Lord. She broke the box, she gave it all. Oh, she did. But the Bible says the odor filled the house. And when an odor fills the house, it'll get on you. I know that because I had teenage boys at one time, and when we were in a hotel, They went through that phase where they wore that Axe body spray. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember when teenage boys thought that was a substitute for taking a shower and deodorant? By the way, it's not. Man, we'd get in a hotel room, and I mean, they'd just load themselves down with Axe body spray. By the time we got to church, I smelt like Axe body spray. Didn't matter that I didn't put any on myself. That odor got on me. I preach in Kentucky a lot. I preach at several churches in Kentucky. You'll get something on you in Kentucky churches. We call it secondhand. Amen. I preach in Kentucky, then I have to take my suits to the dry cleaners. Amen. I was hoping y'all would laugh a little more about that. Make me nervous now. I'm just saying, fragrances can get on you, good or bad. But that day as Mary walked through town, people couldn't even tell without looking whether it was her or Jesus passing by. Maybe they would pass by Jesus and they're like, well, Jesus is smelling really nice today. It's a nice fragrance. That's that expensive stuff. And they'd go a little further and they'd smell the same thing. Where am I passing Jesus? Oh, that's Mary. I think Mary's been spending some time with Jesus. Wouldn't it be a blessing if tonight or this week, if we'd just break the box open and just say, Lord, you can have it all. It's all yours. You've been good to me. You've blessed me. You saved me. You redeemed me. You've met my every need. I mean, you've done so much for me. I don't want to just give you a little. I want to give you all of it, Lord. And man, you pour that out to Jesus and it'll get on you. It'll get on your children. Amen. You might go to work tomorrow and somebody will say, man, you smell different. You smell like you've been with Jesus. You go to school, man, you smell different. You smell like you've been with Jesus. Don't worry, but you can take it out of my offering, Brother Caleb. It's fine. I'm just saying, when are you just going to break your box open and say, Lord, it's yours, you can have it all. Amen. Quit just walking around with it, trying to impress others with it. Yeah. Just say, Lord, it's yours. Yeah. I don't want to hold anything back. Break that box open and give it to Him. Pour it out to Him. He's so worthy. She's playing, we're standing if you're able tonight. I'm not preaching this message to try to drum up a worship service. That's not my goal. I just want you to understand that when He's passing by, don't miss an opportunity. Whether it's at your house or the church house, when He's in the house, don't miss an opportunity to say, Lord, I just want to get at your feet and love on you. Maybe tonight you want to slide into an altar and just spend a few moments giving Him some thanks. Giving Him some glory. I promise you, He's worthy. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy, but He is worthy. Lord, I pray You'll bless the invitation tonight. Have Your will and way. Help us to be very grateful. Help us to take time to really get at Your feet. Just love on you and let you know how much we appreciate you. I pray that this church will be a church where people know their reputation will be not only do they love the Bible, but they love the God of the Bible. And that they're a worshiping church. Get glory unto yourself. You're the one that's worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to pray. If you are praying, take your time tonight.